for the privilege that you have granted unto us to come into your presence. We come because we are needy people. We come because we are expectant to draw from the superfluity of thy bounty. We come because we know that with thee is life. And in thy light we shall see light. Grant unto us light in the name of Jesus Christ. And to you be the praise, to you be the glory. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. You are welcome to the house of God. There is a significant way that God created humankind. And this significant way by which He created humankind is in keeping with the purpose that man is supposed to prosecute from the perspective of the kingdom of God. I hope you all can hear me. All right. Well, technical man, not the feedback. I don't know how to shout, so we'll make do with what is available. Hallelujah. Let me repeat myself again. I said there is a way humankind was created. And the design for humankind is in keeping with our strategic purpose from the perspective of the kingdom of God. Are you with me? Let me introduce us to a scripture. We'll begin from the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Just stay with me as we enjoy the scriptures. Contemplate the counsel of God. Luke chapter 24. From verse 36. Now, don't raise it higher than that for now. Luke chapter 24 from verse 36. We are just trying to receive perspective from the commentary of Jesus about what man is. And then we'll fit that commentary into the crucible of the book of Genesis. In the book of Luke chapter 4, from verse 39, the Bible says, "And as the dust spake, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your heart?" You see, they supposed that they had seen a spirit. So he now said, "Why are you troubled in your heart?" So he now went further to give us some definition. Are you still with me? If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. The definition that I seek to draw from the scriptures is in verse 39. He said, "Behold, my hands and my feet." That's the first thing Jesus said. Are you with me? You are not with me. Please don't be distracted. Just stay with me. Jesus said what? "Behold my hands and my feet." What's the implication of that? "Behold my hands and my feet." Okay, let me finish reading the verse, so that we can take it all at once, and then I'll take us back to the book of Genesis, and we'll begin our study, we'll begin a research, and we'll be able to explore into deep matters. He said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit, you see, when he appeared in their midst, they were afraid, thinking that they had seen a spirit. Okay? Then he now said, behold my hands, my feet. Handle me and see, it is I myself. Then he now defined what a spirit is. He said, a spirit, because many of you think man is a spirit. Right? He said, spirit has not flesh and bones as he see me have. This is the resurrected Jesus that didn't need a door to enter into a congregation. He appeared in their midst, but he said he wasn't a spirit. So many of you think you are a spirit. Meanwhile, that was the assumption that the guys had when he appeared. They said, they have seen a spirit. He said, no, let me help your theology. A spirit. I know you don't like what I'm saying. You see, spend time studying your Bible. If you do so, a pastor can't deceive you with the book. So many pastors don't, because they don't study the Bible. They just confuse people and complicate their life. I know you thought you were a spirit. Help me conduct an investigation. Check if the person has flesh and bones. Then if you so find, help me educate the person. You are not a spirit. He says, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as he see me have. And so the Bible reveals that there is a spirit in man, but the Bible never says that man is. It's a morning session where, hallelujah. Just in case you are confused at any time, you can raise your hand. We'll get your opinion. Then we'll open the scriptures to confirm the accuracy of your perception. We cannot do spiritual business until we understand several realities. Are you with me? Is that enough confirmation that man is not a spirit? Or you want? All right, so this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus said, even though Jesus appeared in their midst, but he told them, this man that appeared to you is not. I hope you understand that Jesus is not in heaven now as a spirit. Heaven now as a man. And that's what Paul said. But there's no other. Don't play with sound. Alright? I'm preaching to you, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm trying to navigate. I'm trying to find out what the will of God is. What I'm supposed to say. It's a very delicate situation. So when you mess up the sound, or you play something on your keyboard that is not supposed to be played, you break the transmission. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So Jesus just wanted to educate us, and he said, this is not the way of a spirit. And Paul says that there's only one mediator between God and man. And he says, the man, Christ Jesus. So in heaven right now, he's in heaven as a man. In the same form in which he appeared to these people, that is the form in which he is in heaven. And every encounter of Jesus you have, you will see him come as a man. Okay? Are you with me? You're not with me. Now, prior to this time, he was the Word of God. That was his designation. And that was the personality that he was. But when he came through the doorway of incarnation and was born into this world as a man through a woman, right? He came to satisfy the claims of divine justice. He went through sevenfold processes He was processed to become adequately sufficient to answer the human deficit of divine justice. And that was what his sacrifice on the cross achieved, creating a legal premise for our salvation. Are you with me? Now, he has to maintain that status eternally for our sake. And so there's a transformation that has taken. This word has now become flesh. And that is not a reaction that you can reverse. So he remains a man in the spirit right now. Are you with me? And he's the one teaching us that a spirit does not have what? Flesh bones as a seed may have. So, when he says, behold me, it means that I can cover, I occupy space. The reason why you can behold me is because what? I occupy space. The reason why you can handle me is because I am made of matter. Are you still with me? A spirit doesn't need space. And the spirit doesn't have matter. The spirit doesn't operate in time. There are three basics of this frame of reference. One of them is time. Another one is space. And another one is... And these three integers were at work in the scripture that I just read to us. Okay? The spirit doesn't operate in time. It operates in the frame of reference called the eternal now. The spirit doesn't have matter. So it doesn't occupy physical space. Are you with me? Jesus had matter. That's why you could handle him. Jesus could be beheld. It means he was covering space. And that event took place in time. That is not the description of the spirit. And the reason why Jesus did what he did was to educate us about man. Are you still with me? You're not with me. He wants to educate us about man because in the entire creation, are you here? The entire creation of God, only man, not even God, only man has the legitimacy to operate in the spirit realm and to operate in the natural realm. He can operate in the spirit realm because he has a spirit. He can operate in the natural realm because he has a body that was drawn from the earth. Only man has this arrangement. And the reason why he was created this way is because of his strategic position as a functionary in the kingdom of God. You understand me? I want us to build gradually. So it is possible for a man, are you here? Human being like you and me, to be summoned to heaven. We have evidences of that in the scripture. Have you read the book of Revelation? In Revelation chapter 1, we see John on the Isle of Patmos. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, we see a summon. A meeting was about to hold in heaven, and John was summoned. And after this, he was summoned. Come up hither. And I will show you the things that will happen hereafter. It was a meeting, an occasion of spiritual and supernatural disclosures. And John, who was yet a mortal, was summoned. And when he desired to transport, the Spirit of God opened the transport mode that is within him. And John traveled in the Spirit. He did not change his physical location. Are you with me? But it was his spirit that was summoned. And through his spirit, when he was summoned, he appeared before the throne of God. His physical location did not change, but his spiritual location changed. Are you with me? It is only man that can have this duality of presence. Only man. You know, God has his own category. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. That's another technology that we do not have the capacity to enjoy. Are you with me? But I'm telling you about what is available to you. Oh, you are not. Yeah, Kai. Okay, I changed my sermon. I changed my message. Jesus. Please study your Bible. Please. Study it and believe what you are reading. If you believe it, your mind will be renewed. It will change your thinking. That's when you become wise. Your decision-making processes will be aided by the wisdom of God that is enshrined in the scriptures. The average believer is a victim of erroneous teaching. Meanwhile, the formula for receiving teaching is that after you are taught, you go back and set your Bible to see whether the things that you were exposed to are actually biblical. So a lot of people accepted a lot of garbage without checking with the scripture. And as long as you are operating with that mindset, you are still a victim of some structural disalignment. And that's why in the dealings that we have with God, one of the things that God wants to achieve through those dealings is to get our mindset renewed. The garbages and the way we think because of our vista, which is not accurate, God wants to come and heal that vista so that our perception of God can be accurate. So I can show you from scripture how John was summoned to heaven. And then the first place in heaven that he landed was before the throne. Why? Because that's where everything originates from. The center of the kingdom of God is the administration of God. And the center of the administration of God is the throne of God. That's where your calling was proclaimed from. That's where your ordination is proclaimed from. Everything that is encapsulated in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Is operated from that throne. And are you still with me? Just stay with me. Stay with me. And from the perspective of scripture, okay, somebody is asking a question. Somebody is asking a question. He said, I don't really get the point that the spirit has no bone or flesh. If so, sir, how did Jacob fight with the angel and grabbed and struggled with him till the break of day? No. Calm down. See, you are not coming down. See, this person needs to be educated. This person cannot walk in the supernatural with this mindset. Because the person thinks that this fight, this battle took place in the natural. Now, I came to cure you of... You are not with me. I hope you were clapping for Jesus. I hope you were clapping for Jesus. So I can understand the clap if it's for Jesus. Now stay with me. Stay with me. You don't need to clap for me. But if you are clapping for Jesus, clap well. Okay? All right. Hallelujah. Have you ever had a dream that you fought with somebody in the dream before? It wasn't physically real, but in the place where the fight took place, it was very real. Angels don't have bones and flesh. They don't operate with the time on your clock. They don't even understand that time. It doesn't exist in their civilization. This fight was not physical. This fight was a spiritual thing that took place. You notice that the first encounter that Jacob had in that same spot, he slept first before he had it. His physical senses were shut down, and then his spiritual senses were activated. It's on the strength of the perception that came through his spiritual senses. He was able to engage with that realm of reality. Engage with altars that were set up by his grandfather that opened the website from earth to heaven. And traffic. There was traffic. Stop that. Now, if you clap again, I will stop talking. And then I will allow you to clap till evening. We'll continue in the evening, sir. I'm trying to help us. I'm trying to help us to come to a point where the supernatural becomes natural to us. That is your design. That's how you were designed. You might see some sort of knowledge. Say, this is your name. This is what you do. You veered off at the age of 8. God wanted you. This thing happened. It dislocated your mobility in the spirit. And you think it's a great thing. It's not. It's a normal thing. The reason why the supernatural is a far cry to many of us is because of fractures in alignment. And a lot of garbages that we picked up through teachings that were not accurate. Jacob stumbled upon that ground. His grandfather was there before he showed up. His grandfather was the one that raised an altar to God in that place. I can show you from all scripture. Right? Raised an altar to God in that place, made some covenant, and implicated his descendants. And then many years later, Jacob was running from home, and then he thought he was him that chose where to sleep. He had entered into a place where his will and his reasoning was no longer strong enough to direct him. Because the covenant in that ground that was directing him. And unfortunately for him, even though he was an unbeliever, he had not yet accepted the God of his grandfather. Because the God of his grandfather at that time was called the God of Abraham and Isaac. His name had not been included in the creed. There were options of what the next name would have been. He could have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. He could have been Abraham. What's the other guy's name? Ishmael and Esau. There were so many alternatives. But you see, you must be a man of capacity and stature. Ishmael couldn't make that list because Ishmael was born of the flesh. It was the will of man that produced Ishmael. If you put a covenant upon that man, it will grind him. It will kill him. He doesn't have the capacity to hold it. He was a product of the will of man. But Isaac was a product of a promise that came from the mouth of God. In the day that Isaac will be conceived, his barren mother had to undergo the same kind of process that Mary underwent before she conceived him. She, as a spinster, she was already medically confirmed barren. And at the time God wanted to bring the promise to pass, what God did was that she was also into menopause. So, from the standpoint of medical stance, she was a situation of medical impossibility. It was the word that God spoke, the promise that God gave, the power behind that promise that was responsible for the rejuvenation that took place in her body. And her fallopian tubes were serviced. The Abraham that we are talking about, at the time that Isaac came, he did not have capacity to produce semen. His body was dead. He didn't even have any desire for a woman again. But in order for the promise to come to pass, and for the glory to be God's, Abraham had to be, you know, when he was still sterile, fertile, he was still sampling Hagar. Produce Boko Haram. This was producing all kinds of. So God had to wait for him. For his own body to become dead. And he went back to God and said, that thing you spoke about, are you still interested? Because there was no more. His will could not produce anything anymore. It was on the strength of that God's word went to work. He revived his own body. Broke the yoke of barrenness. Made that woman that was old, made her young again. Because when vitality comes back, she shrank in age. And this man was seeing all these things. Then he knew that the God that he was discussing with, seeing in visions and dreams, was indeed the creator of this universe. For him to be able to turn back the hand of time. Are you with me?
That was how Isaac was born. And that's why Isaac had the capacity to carry what he inherited.
Are you see here?
And so Jacob came into that space. He thought he was the one that felt that that was a good place to rest for the night. He didn't know that the place was using him. He thought he was still using his brain. The powers that were available in that place were beyond his capacity to think. What was responsible for the choice he made? Because how will you sleep on a field and then you now take stone and use it for pillow? That's. He never knew that one of those stones were one of the stones. The stones he took were the stones that were used to construct, his grandfather used to construct the altar. And when he slept that night, his physical senses were switched off. His senses broke free into another reality. Because when he came, he said, the place was dry. It was a dry, open field. But when he entered into that same place in the spirit, he entered into a spiritual city. With angels ascending and what? Descending. Now, so you have that capacity of a duality of manifestation. And that was what Jesus was trying to teach Nicodemus in the book of John chapter 3. Are you with me? You are not here. You are still not. God help me. Help me today. Duality of location. That's the same thing that John tried to teach Nicodemus in the book of John chapter 3. Can you check it? Yeah, so as we service, you are going to hear strange things that you have never heard before. And just in case you have a question like this man, you can write it down. The ushers are on the aisles. You can forward it to them. They'll bring it to me. If it is worthy of commentary, because some people might say, okay, because the floor is open, let's just say anything. Who is my wife? You will be penalized for abusing the opportunity. If I see a genuine desire to understand, it will be responded to. But if it's just to take of the opportunity and waste our time, all right. So I have further orders coming. Great. Okay, so you can keep it. I will attend to it when I'm done. God bless you. Thank you for your determination to see that that assignment is carried out. Are you still here? John chapter 3, quickly. Just try to show you a few things before I now teach you how to walk in the Spirit. You have to, how to walk. How to relate. Because the spirit realm is more real than this natural realm. This building, now if I bring a caterpillar, we can demolish it. And if, are you with me? Demolish it and totally pack out all the rubble. And maybe when you now have your child, and you now say to your child, when I was on campus, there was a big building here. Your child can't relate with that. Because it was not there when the building stood, was not there when the building was demolished. And so you are trying to make your child imagine something that his physical senses cannot capture. That's how this physical realm is, a realm of vanity. Nothing is real. Time is a lie. Space is a lie. And those vanities are the things that the devil uses to manipulate us, to bring us to confusion, anxiety, so that we can take decisions that will marginalize your destiny. True spiritual people have learned how to live from the perspective of the immortal dimension. That realm that cannot change. That's where they dream. If you don't operate that way, you are going to be a victim of demons, of demonic manipulation, demonic subjugation. Because the devil will play with your senses, try to make you believe that your senses are true. And if you don't have a robust spiritual base, you are not likely to strike any mark. Come. One of the digressions that took place in the body of Christ the past 25 years is that people, the emphasis of our teaching and preaching changed. The believer was now brought to consider the physical, the natural realm as a superior realm. So he shuts down his spiritual capacities and then is locked up in the natural zoo trying to find what is not lost. But your reality and essence is locked up in the spirit. That's how Jesus Christ designed it. Any facilities that are in the spirit realm that you need to begin to take advantage of? The sooner is the better. This is Jesus speaking again in the book of John chapter 3. Verse 11, he begins his speech, expository speech. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you heavenly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I... No, earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Verse 13 is my emphasis. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Can we read that verse again? No man. According to Jesus, he was right in heaven when he was speaking to Nicodemus. City of location. Oh my. He was in heaven through his spirit. He was seeing what was happening in heaven by his spirit, because his spirit has senses. Oh my God. Okay, we need to digress. We'll digress again, and then we'll do a refresher course on spiritual senses. Then we'll come back again, and we'll continue the journey. So, refresher course. According to the Bible, you will find that I found four spiritual senses. It may not be limited to that anyway, but within the limits of my own Bible study, I found four spiritual senses. If you find the fifth one, you can add it to the list. Are you still with me? Now, I'm just trying to show you the capacity that your human spirit has. Now that your spirit is recreated, regenerated by the work of redemption, you have so much capacity in your spirit that you need to begin to take advantage of. The reason why a man becomes mighty is not because he is mighty, it's because he is a partaker of the destiny of the mighty one that is in us. We need to know the implication of that statement. The powers that are available to us because we are infused with the spirit of the living God. Spirit, number one, turn me to the book of John chapter 13. It's a refresher course, a digression. When we are done with the digression, we'll come back to the message. I have not started the message yet. We are supposed to begin from the book of Genesis chapter 1. And then we'll do an analysis of how the physical realm and the spiritual realm were created. And what is the basis of their compatibility. Because man, by reason of his design, should be able to operate in the physical realm and operate in the spiritual realm. I need to show you the design of the two realms. Exactly. All right. In the book of John, chapter 13, because that spirit city that Jacob saw, it was through his spiritual senses. That's how you are going to be able to engage the spiritual line, the spiritual realm. Your spiritual senses are very fundamental facilities that you must ensure that are in maximal operation at every time. Because there is a situation where your receptacles can actually be dead. Right? There is a spiritual diagnosis that we are going to carry out very soon. And that diagnosis will help reveal if your receptacles are still functioning. A brother just looked at me from the congregation like this. Because he's wondering if it's still Bible we are preaching. You know what? The church in Nigeria is light years behind. Light years. Light years. Our civilization did not build us deeper into the spirit and into present revelation position. We were built into earthly dimensions for the past 12 years. God must do a hybridized work among us to bring us up to speed with current technologies in the spirit. Even the witchcraft people are more advanced than we are. They have built their technology. Their legacy is very steadfast. Oh my God, have mercy on the church in Nigeria. John chapter 13, are you there? Turn your Bible, verse 1. So now we are doing spiritual senses. It's a refresher course, a diploma, so that we can qualify to take a prerequisite. This is a prerequisite course. If you don't take this, you have no business being in the next class. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Need us to pick a few things. First thing that I need you to pick here is that the Bible reveals that Jesus knew that his hour had come. That's one. Second thing that I need you to pick here is that Jesus knew that he had come from God. Third thing I want you to pick there is that Jesus knew that he was going to God. So the first spiritual sense is what we call the knowing of revelation. He knew that he had come from God. He knew that his hour had come. He knew that he was going back to God. My question is, what do you know? It's called the knowing of revelation because, are you with me? Because it's not a knowing that you do. It's not a knowing that comes from the library. It's not a knowing that comes from the lecture room. Is a knowing that is precipitated into your spirit man by the workings of the Spirit of God. In fact, that kind of knowing is one of the basic facilities behind spiritual knowledge. Knowing of revelation. And fortunately or unfortunately, as the case may be, 70% of the communications of God are in this form. What did I call it? Knowing of revelation. Experientially, it's a knowing that you receive of God. You cannot verify it. You cannot explain it. But you just know it. Have you ever had that knowing before? If you have experienced it before, let me see your hand. Now, if you have not experienced this ever before, since you became a Christian, we need to question your Christian life, whether you are born again. And I'm not joking. Because the Bible reveals, are you still with me? Are you still with me? The Bible reveals that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The fundamental basis by which you know experientially that you are saved is on the strength of a witness that the Holy Spirit witnesses with spirit man. It's still the purview of this knowing. So in the knowing of revelation, what happens is that the Spirit of God brings an inner witness about a matter. This goes beyond superficial knowledge. This goes beyond knowledge that is acquired on the soil of the soul. This is a kind of knowledge that comes by the witness of the Spirit. And it's a sign of spiritual health. Just in case you have not had this kind of experience before, you are not spiritually healthy. It means there is a fracture in your spiritual alignment. And I will tell you how to troubleshoot your spirit to know where the problem is coming from. If you are still with me, say, Amen. Jesus knew that he had come from God, and he knew that he had come to God. For instance, I know how long I will live. That's why I'm in a hurry. Hallelujah. I have seen the glory of God. You cannot threaten a man that knows by this form of knowledge. You can't threaten him. When a man that knows by this form of knowledge begins to talk, you will think he's proud. Except you have discernment, you may not be able to separate between a proud man and a man that is talking because he knows. Just like Simeon, who had a knowing that he would not see death until he has seen the Lord's salvation. If he stands in the market square and says, death can't take me, you would think he's boasting. But it was an inner knowing. The question is, what do you know? If you don't know anything, then you are not about to become anything. Because one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that he begins to inject spiritual knowings into your heart. It is by these knowings that you become a strong man. You can establish the kingdom of God. He knew that he had come from God. He knew that he was going back to God. Do you know where you are going? That kind of knowledge can only be furnished by a knowing, a witness from the Spirit of God. He knew that his hour had come, so death did not stumble upon him suddenly. He knew it. Your Bible? Are you with me? Are you with me? You check your Bible, you'll find out all the patriarchs in the apostolic era knew that they were going to die before they died. You will hear Peter's testimony that Jesus has encountered him and shown him that his pilgrimage has ended. You will hear Paul's testimony. And Paul will tell you how that he has finished running his race. He has kept the faith. And hereafter, a crown of glory is set before him. Those were people that still had a functional, vibrant, active spirit. God, once and again, was furnishing spiritual knowings to keep them in track and to keep them in procession. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12. Who is there? Are you there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12? Alright. He said, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. Why is he not ashamed? He's been suffering a lot of stuff. He was cane, 39 strokes of the cane, and he had that ordeal 5 times. And he was still enthusiastic about ministry. They put him to shame many, many places. But he was not ashamed. Tried to discourage him. Tried to do all kinds of stuff. He was still in good momentum. Then he now told us why. He said, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I believe. So if this man did not have a knowing of whom he had believed, the things that people did would have amounted to in his ministry. When you find a man that is in the midst of corruption and refuses to be corrupt, find a man that has opportunity to commit sin and he refuses to commit it. When you find a man that is in a place that is so twisted but he is standing erect, such a man, it's not the school of morality he went to. There's something he knows. If I dwell on this campus for 2 weeks and I see believers, see people walking around, I will know how many people are standing for God. It's very easy to identify a man that knows the God whom he has believed. Of course, I suffered so many setbacks, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him as against that day. There's little you can do to such a man. Put him in chains. His chains will not make him pray more than he used to pray before. You have immobilized him, so he will engage his spirit. He was in prison, this same man. He was bound in prison. But the word of God on his lips was not bound. He knew that there was something that was not bound, his spirit. And it was in prison that he gave us 2/3 of the New Testament. What a prison life. There was nothing that could be done in the natural to incapacitate. And all of his escapades was traced that he knew whom he had believed. Second spiritual sense. John chapter 5. This is a refresher course so that we can go back to the subject matter. I don't know how much time we'll have for the subject matter. When I finish the refresher course, you will give me permission for 30 minutes to do an official report and submit it, then I'll come back. Use the 30 minutes to contemplate the issues we are raising. Hallelujah. Because the next segment of the study will be deeper than this. We're trying to see how we can take advantage of the facilities and infrastructures that are built in the spirit, the unseen realm. Right? Then each and every one of us will become as strong as David. Are you there in John chapter 5? Here's the testimony of Jesus. In John chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus comes up with a very strategic and a very compelling revelation. He said, "For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he doeth." Underline, showeth. Showeth. "And he will show," underline, "show him greater works than these that ye may marvel." Then verse 21 is practical. He said, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." That means the Son will see the Father in the spirit, the way the Father is doing stuff, and then the same kind of stuff in the natural. This is what we call the sight of affection, because it is the Father's love that compels him to show the Son's things. "For the Father loveth the Son." And what? God begins to you. Open your spiritual eyes. It's an act. It's one of. Hallelujah. It's one of the evidences of the Lord's love. When it begins to open your understanding, eyes, give you spiritual sight to see the things he's doing, to see the things he wants to do. Sometimes you are praying, then you begin to see God, the way God is answering the prayer. It's an act of love. He just wants to help your faith. So, "For the Father loveth the Son," and what? "Showeth him." Sight of affection. Spiritual eyes. Spiritual sight. So the first is the knowing of revelation. Second is what? The sight of affection. It takes, it's a manifestation of the love of God. There are several levels of faith. You may not have the capacity to engage except you have spiritual sight. Some people, are you with me? It seems if I stand here, the mic doesn't work. Does it work? There are several levels of faith you cannot operate except you have spiritual sight. And that's why God needs to help our sight. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 verse 24. Are you with me? If you are still here, say amen. Study time, so we need to be opening the Bible. Some of you have not opened the Bible this much in the last 1 month. So we need to combine all the... Yes, you have not. You have opened your chemistry, but the Bible is complicated. So let's make up for the lost time. In the book of... Meanwhile, you need to read your books very well. Though. Huh? When we finish from here. Huh? Go on. You know... In my time... I don't sleep. I read till daybreak. Yes. And people... Now, one guy now realized that I don't use my bed. So he now became our roommate. Uses the bed in the night. So I do my preaching, I do my study, I do my deliverance, then I stay up till daybreak with coffee. So don't get me wrong. Read your books or read the Bible. I never read any book any day without reading the portion of the Bible I ought to read for that day. During my school time, I know how many Bibles I mutilated. How many Bibles? Then I stopped counting how many times I'd finished the Bible. I stopped counting. I think at the age of 21. At the age of 25, I began to think in scripture. Advanced thinking. That's when I discovered that if a curse is on your life, it affects your decision-making process. And you were ordained by God to be wise by the philosophy of the scriptures. From the days of thy youth, thou hast learned the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise. May the Lord give you understanding. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 24. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, the active word here I want to draw your attention to is endured. There's a lot of people say they are into ministry. Okay? Then he starts a ministry, sets up a signboard, and then he shuts down the ministry after 2 years. He did not endure. And a man that can do that has not seen anything. You know, you were taught that faith makes you receive things. Are you denying me now? Okay. Through faith, you receive. A faith that gets, a faith that takes. Now, the manifestation of the faith of Moses was that he rejected. His own faith did not take. His own faith, what did what? Rejected to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Have you rejected anything? The thing was calling you. It was looking for you. It had already slain you. You were slain in the soul. But you rejected. Because you knew it was inconsistent with the principles and the policies of God. That's a manifestation of faith. That was the kind of faith that Moses' life gave example about. And the reason why he could endure in making such a choice. Egypt was the light in that era. Egypt was the light. Egypt was the pinnacle of civilization at that time. Leaving Egypt to wander into the wilderness was the option that an insane personality would subscribe to. Somebody that had a bipolar effect, that was schizophrenic. And the Bible says he endured in that choice of his was because he's invincible. Are you still with me? So there are several dimensions of faith that you'll not be able to practicalize except your spiritual senses of sight are fully activated. Number three. Hearing of faith. You know that one. Hearing of faith. Hearing with your spiritual ears. It's not as if the voice you heard was a physical voice, was a spiritual voice, but you heard it. Faith. So I don't need to. You know that one. I don't need to talk about that. There are several times that Hallelujah. Now, is it the battery of this thing that is dead? What? The battery is not dead. Hallelujah. So you know that hearing of faith. And sometimes, like I said, sight and hearing go together. You might see something that you may not understand. Because the thing was sponsored by a spirit of revelation. Then you need the spirit of wisdom. Have you ever had a dream that you did not know the meaning? You know the meaning of all the dreams you have. Oh, I see. You are such an advanced person. One of the evidences that the Bible reveals that God is greater than man is that his communication mode is higher than our capacity of comprehension. That is evidence in the fact that God can give you a dream and he can conceal the meaning of it. And when that happens, it means it's the spirit of revelation that gave the dream. You will need the spirit of wisdom to interpret the dream. And that's why Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, his earnest prayer was that the people of God will be baptized with the spirit of wisdom and revelation that facilitates the knowledge of the Christ. You need a lot of revelations in order for you to have spiritual knowledge about how to deal with the Christ. You need a lot of wisdom. And so there is no way we can exclude the Christian journey from a part of revelatory encounters that are broken down through the transformer of understanding by the spirit of wisdom. If you check the book, you will see a very good documentary of how the Christian life played out among the There's somebody in his morning devotion, Ananias. He was in his morning devotion and Jesus appeared to him. So there's one guy, Saul. I just encountered him now. He's in confusion. You are going to unravel the spirit of... So it was the spirit of wisdom that was operating through Christ to empower that brother to be able to unravel the mystery that Paul was in. He could not comprehend the experiences he had had. He had had an encounter, a revelation. But the wisdom to understand it was. So Jesus, operating at the spirit of wisdom, now appeared to this guy and empowered him to go give perspective to the encounter that Paul had had. In order for Paul to trust him, he said, okay, when you pray for him, his blind eyes will open. So he will know that I sent you. Then you give him some warning. Say, Jesus that appeared to you on the way to Damascus, he sent me. So the first revelation that Paul was exposed to was the manifestation of the mystical body of Christ. How did he know that? So Jesus encountered. So he knew that there was an organism that was at work in the hearts of men. And that organism was an enlightening organism. And it was that organism that enlightened this man to come and give me these accurate words. So he submitted to it. See, the Jesus that met you on the way to Damascus is the one that appeared to me. Told me a few things about you. So you have been honored. You will know his will. You will see the righteous one. And you will hear words from his mouth. My testimony is not sufficient to commission you. The one that encountered you will come back again. And he will stay with you until you can comprehend his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. When Paul saw the gravity of the things that God expected from him, the moment he received his sight, he went on honeymoon with Jesus for 3.5 years in the wilderness of Arabia. You gave your life to Christ, came back to chemistry class. He gave his life to Christ, went to Arabia for 3.5 years. Came back a Colossus. He understood perfectly the purpose of God for his life. And we hear Paul say, I went to by revelation. God will help in the name of Jesus Christ. How many of us here have a fair comprehension of what God wants to do with you? You are in school, you are building yourself, developing yourself, and all of that. And a few of you here will not even use the certificate that you are looking for. You are laughing. Because you don't know what revelation does to a man. Some of you did not even seek God enough before you got the admission. The course you are reading is wrong. But meanwhile, it's my prayer for you that you get a first class in that course. But if you encounter the personality Paul encountered on his way to Damascus, you might find out that he may not need that your. Revelation is a scary thing to deal with. And only men that are willing to consecrate themselves to serve the will of God. Revelation comes with so much. Is the battery also dead here? So we have spiritual sight. Then lastly, we have spiritual taste. Taste. It's actually called the taste of discernment. It's a discernment facility. It's a discernment facility. You can things. Scriptural reference for that will be 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Turn your Bible with me. Verse 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, all hypocrisies and envies, and all speaking, as newborn babes desire the milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that you have tested that the Lord is gracious, if so be that you have what? Tested. So you can actually taste that the Lord is gracious. I'm going to explain that. If so be that you have tasted. This is an experiential kind of tasting. If you experience Jesus, then it will become your own experiential opinion that the Lord is good. In fact, in the book of Psalms 34:8, the psalmist calls on. He enjoins every believer to taste and see that the Lord is good. It's a taste of discernment. It's a taste for you to know what sort a matter is. Are you with me? And have a friend, and experientially, when you begin to engage the person, you now find out that the person is competitive. This is not the kind of friend I can have for a long time. So because of tasting, I give. And then suddenly your younger sister now says in relationship with that your friend that you have tasted. You don't need a vision to caution her. You sit down here. Sit down. You understand that? And your counsel to your younger sister will be as accurate as prophecy because you have tasted. Many people go out their facility of discernment. The one lady the other day came, and what was the problem? Pastor come, what was the problem? She went to a church in Lagos, and things were going on. And they laid hands on her. End of the day, laying on of hands, so many demons. And for which she needed me to come and deliver her. Because if she sleeps in the night, it takes for her to wake up. Meanwhile, she was in that church by an auntie of hers. They came there without tasting. And so they did not verify that what was present was good. Meanwhile, the Bible says that we should test all things and we should hold fast to that. And so you will not hold God responsible if people refuse to test it. And then, oh my God. Now give me a cord mic. Who is an usher? Move this. Let's go that way. That's where the cord will be. Hallelujah. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So now you can. Are you the only person that plays keyboard here? Who else plays keyboard in this place? No. Bring your hand. You don't play. From what I see, you don't play like this. Switch on your keyboard. Look for strings. Just strings. Don't play what you want to play, right? Fine. Look for me with your sound. Look for me. Call mine. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now, so those are spiritual senses. Before we go for the first 30 minutes break, we need to practicalize it. We need to do a practical on it. So that you see how it works. How does it work? I just talked about spiritual things. We need to practicalize. Is it that the transmitter cannot pick that distance?
Okay, all right.
We have to practicalize. Okay, can you help me with it? One song, okay? The song is, you are here, moving in this way. Now, see, let me counsel you. You see, why are you laughing at me? I'm like Elisha. Huh? If they don't do it right, I will remain a teacher. If they do it right, I can move into the prophetic office. That's how I move. Alright? These were the things I was told when I met with Jesus. The tricks of how to move between offices. If you do what I'm doing, it won't work. Until Jesus tells you himself. He says, Saul, Jesus that you met on the way to Damascus said, I should tell you that you will know his will. You will see the righteous one. You will hear words from his mouth. What you are hearing is a word of a preacher. What I heard was the words of Jesus. And so it works every time. So go and look for the words of Jesus for your own life. If he tells you, copy that preacher, copy him and paste. It will work.
If you want your operation, your spiritual senses to work, to operate, to function, there is something we call the operation of Christ within your spirit man. The operation of Christ must be activated. Now, notice that Jesus was sleeping in Peter's boat when there was chaos outside. The wind had come boisterous, but yet Jesus did not wake up. That is proof enough that Jesus can sleep in your heart. He can be inactive in your life. The fact that Jesus is inactive in your life doesn't mean he's inactive in everybody's life. You know, the guys did something to get Jesus to rise. They were beating him, beckoning on him. He didn't come up. Carest not thou that we perish? And he rose. What will happen after Jesus has risen is not given to chance, but the technology of getting him to rise. That's the technology of the prophets. How do you get him to rise from within you? Oh my God, you are not with me. Are you with me? Getting him to rise from within you. That's when you can enjoy the economy of the ever-present help. That is help indeed in the time of need. Most of you don't have God when you are in trouble. Because you don't know how to wake him. So the first thing you must be taught in the school of prophets is how to wake him up. Don't worry about that. How to revive him from within you. How I wish I had time. How do you revive him from within you? Let me tell you a few things about the Holy Ghost. The first thing is, if the Holy Ghost knows that you are trusting in him to deliver wholeheartedly, he cannot resist that. For the Bible says that a broken and a contrite heart, God doesn't have the capacity to despise it. If he knows that you have no other hope, he will come. If he knows that you have no other confidence, he will come. But if you still have hope, he won't come. When I finished from campus and I went to serve in Kano, one thing was sure. Because my dad died, the great man died before I finished. So when I was going to, and I know my uncles, they have been waiting for him to die for a long time. Because of his influence in this country, if he gives me a note to anybody, I can get a job anywhere. But he died. Why was it before me I finished that he died? He was still alive when the other guys went to school. Now me, I want to finish. Now what? Die. Sometimes if God wants to help you to know how to beckon on Christ to rise from the boat, somebody will die. And then you will now feel vulnerable. Again, that your sense of vulnerability is a blessing. Zero in on Jesus. That confidence you have that is not making you feel vulnerable is a curse. You are not likely to seek God the way you are expected to seek him. If you still have that confidence in your psychology, you won't press enough. So when I went for youth service, I was going there to die. It's either I die or God will show up. My fasting started from the camp. You know, they give meal tickets in the camp. I started fasting from the camp. Came out of camp and the place where I was staying, I now located a prayer place. People don't go there because it's a mountain, so I climbed it. I spent more than 8 months there. That was when I discovered that you perfect prayer when you give yourself to prayer. Elato ma kayanto mi. Yasamante kurabata. Malato. I was calling on Jesus. And you know what? I fasted and prayed 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, on the 8th day of the 8th month. You know what Jesus now said? It seems somebody is praying though. Somebody is doing something. We are hearing something. All he gave me was a flash that he was seeing me. It's okay. At least you are seeing me. He said, continue in that prayer, in that fasting. Because I knew leaving you service without encountering him was disaster. The confidence I had been plucked out. There was nobody in the world to stand for me anymore. I knew it. I knew what I would face. I said, where are you? So I advise you to finish your university first. It's just a counsel. Be doing maintenance ration. When the exam... Let me tell you. Maintenance ration that I mean is that cumulatively in a week. Okay, let's not do it in a week. At least in a day you pray for 2 hours. You can break it morning one, night one. You can manage it. Because you spend more time gaming than praying. Zero yourself into what matters. I needed a defender. I needed somebody to raise me up. 8 months, he showed up and said, I'm seeing you. You are seeing me. And that's what he said. I continue. Then I saw that it may seem that the 4 hours I was putting into it every day was not sufficient. I increased it. If you are traveling from here to Ilorin and your fuel finishes along the way, it's not a mechanical problem. Just branch into the filling station and add fuel. And on the 20th of October, Jesus visited my bedroom. I don't need to tell you the details of that encounter. But when he visited, he came with some angels. In fact, the angels came first. That's how Jesus comes. He deploys angels first. And what I'm telling you is not what I think or what I read from a book. I'm telling you what I've seen. Now, a lot of people come, claim that they are prophets that don't have experience with God. They will lead you into the wilderness of Arabia, into dryness. Because the things of which they speak, they have not seen. When you hear a man talking about spiritual traveling, and he cannot travel physically, he's talking about moving from one point to another point, and he can't practicalize it. He doesn't know the place in the spirit where it happens. Are you with me? The people that have authority to teach those things are people that can demonstrate it. You have heard of Babalola? He used to travel in the spirit. He never had time to teach it. But if he had taught it, he has the authority to do it because he lives there. He lives in the place in the spirit where it happens. We have faced fake people impersonating across. I pray you not be a victim. Because the souls of many people have been blotted out just because of. Many people were brought into astrology. Some of them were brought into necromancy by those people that don't have experience in prophetic things. On the 20th of October, Jesus sent angels. I thought that was all. The angels would stay in my room. They were there. I will go to work and come back and meet them there. Go to work and come back and meet them there. Then time became nothing to me. Because when I start, by the time the encounter shuts down,
I have seen how long it took. What? But it was not my making, not because I was a strong spiritual man. He was coming to respond. And after getting used to the angels for some time, then he showed up. You must learn how to wake him up. One of the things he taught me was that if you can move the attention from yourself and move the attention to him, he will come. That's why I use sound. He gave me this example. That when I'm worshiping, I begin to forget myself. So worship makes me collide with him. It's not as if he has not been there all the while, but I'm not conscious that he's there until I lose consciousness of myself. Your prayer that you're praying, you are still conscious of yourself. When you lose consciousness, then you see. And when you see him, don't let him go ever again. You see, in that prayer I was migrating until I was consumed. When I was consumed in the prayer, but I didn't know I was migrating. It was no longer about me. His burdens were strong on my heart. As I got myself consumed in them, and I stayed there, then I began to see his reality. Give me a phone. Now, where you are sitting, it's too high. Where you are sitting, you're going to try it. Take the attention from yourself. Totally. Yes, you have needs. You need a belt. You need a husband. You need some things that forget about it. Remember, a broken and a contrite heart, you cannot despise. A heart that is crying with a need. That need will trouble his own heart. The Bible reveals that he is moved with the feelings of our infirmities. Let him touch your cry. Okay, go to him now in prayer. Now forget about yourself, you forget about your father, your mother, your need for marriage, and the hard, difficult exam that is ahead of you on Monday. Forget about that and get lost. Abelina huta barasane. Abelina brasketobri anahandeli. Handeli, handeli, sulebrande, abakapalante di mosopria. Gubrasato balabata, ikambres kovonole. Lehis kebrahan to minata atebros abake no kuria ikena hazaita kumba abalemadia isonde ambahata ikobraske varatali balabraske ikatali ikamansolia habes kovalahata himbon shanda himbon gambate himbon sheke varasko tameno kabre. Burena sakotabri, ikapeta nanteto ba, ukabre sokombe. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in this way. Go on now. I worship you. Una basate les que pronte. Compresa se sete de. Touch.
Apobose, Apobalite, Ascabraha, Dababoria, Asabata, Shabraha, Asabasa, Marika, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
You know, we are in practical class. We are in practical class. That's where we are. All right? We're trying to switch into the practical. Now, so listen. This is sight. This one is sight. I see the angel of the Lord carrying a lamp. And anytime I see this angel carrying this lamp, it means that there is someone in the congregation that God wants to give a revelational gift, such that when you sleep, then the revelations will begin. It's a lamp. Alright? At the count of seven, God will touch that person. One. Two. Stop praying. Stop praying. Don't pray. Don't worry. Just, you can expect. Can be expectant in your heart, but you don't need to pray. I've already prayed, and there's a feedback, and that feedback is going to manifest. Then I will say more on sight. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me find that person. Help me find the person. Help me find the person. Okay, I see two more. Two more. Father, put your hand upon two of them. The two additional people. Two additional people. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Listen to me. Hallelujah. Now, spiritual sight is very critical. Is very critical. So I want to release a prayer point so that we can pray. It was Jesus that said that we need to wash our eyes with eye salve so that we can see. Can you lay your two hands on your eyes now? And then ask the Lord to wash your eyes with eye salve, so that you can see. Ask him to wash your eyes. Ilamon samantekele moroko pasede. Limbrosama salamanta salamanta. Ikaman sale bokuri aziba letos gambe. Lasso sese nete breske santo mina branta babosa barahale. Iska bresko banete brenda curia amantale sopre. Amantale sopre. Amantale sopre. Aito mansala baroteske bresa ninde. Glory to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Listen, somebody's prayer has reached heaven.
It is because that prayer reached heaven that God has inspired me to prophesy, to speak. There's someone here. God will do something in your life in the next 13 seconds. He will open your ear. Just one ear. Your right ear. Through that ear, you will begin to hear His audible voice. And if you are in support, you can just stretch your hand towards the altar. Then I will pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, this person that you want to adopt to become your friend, that you will speak to in simple, plain language. I ask that the anointing that will open that ear let it be released from the heavens. It's a radical anointing. Let it be released. Another measure. A stronger measure. Aitoma sila mantala babu. Let the ears be open. 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 Kiana Mosante, Ikombre Samalatelia Takos Kabla. Rumana has penso sanate brand. Yes, it will come strong. It will come strong on you. Strong grace. Mighty grace. Mighty grace will be released over your life. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Finally, before I go on break, there's somebody here, one of your ears is deaf. And you are going to hear now. So if you are the person, stand up. One of your ears, you have a challenge with hearing on one of your ears. Stand up. We have only two people. One, two. All right. So let's do this now. Hey, look at me. Those of you standing, look at me. This is the instruction. Okay? See this finger? Put it in the ear that doesn't hear. And cover it. Close it up. Just follow my instructions. Do it very well. Close it very well. Alright, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every deafening spirit. I break the hold of the deafening spirit. I command you, spirit, come out of their ears in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of their ears in the name of Jesus Christ. I command your ears to open up. Command it to open up. I judge the spirit that has blocked it. I command the recreation along that pathway. Let hearing be activated right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. All right, remove that ear. Use the other hand. Cover the one that is hearing. Very well. Remove the one on the ear we just prayed for. Now, if you are close to the persons, rise up, help them test that ear. If you are close to the people that are standing with ear challenges, can you rise up and help them test the ear? You man there, you guy there, rise up, test that ear. Rise up, test that lady's ear. Rise up,
test. No, don't whisper into it. Talk. Clap. And then find out if the person is hearing. If the person can hear, if you can hear, let me see your hand up. Raise it up. Wait. Calm down. Test again. If you can hear that clap, raise your hand up. I say, wait. I will tell you when to clap. Is this what you want to clap for? I will tell you when to do it. Hands again, if you can hear without ear, raise your hand up. Those of you that can hear, come out here. Those of you that can't hear, remain standing. Oh, you don't want to hear? Okay, you can sit down. Just follow my instruction, that's all. If you can't hear, remain standing. If you can hear, come out. Come. Don't be afraid. Come. I want to touch you. Can I touch you where you are? I'm looking for one person among all of you. Okay, Lord, show me the one that you spoke about. Show me the one. Now the anointing will come upon that person that I'm looking for. Show me by the anointing. 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 Stronger anointing. Stronger. Stronger. Show me by the anointing. Ufalemendo obres. Obres que sana alando. Ilabros cavanate. Escubria mahavante. Show me by the anointing. 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 Show me the second one. Show me the third one. By the anointing. 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 Show me by the anointing. Show me, Lord, by the anointing. Ubasani lahabana. Ubasantalia. Ilamantalia. Ikosala brande. Escobre helekalenis. Rabo shamaita kubarata. Asaito kabelata ikabahaito ma. Those of you that God is touching, your physical ears and your spiritual ears are open at the same time. Your spiritual ears and your physical ears. Your spiritual ears and your physical ears. Yes, you will hear clearly in the spirit too. Not just to hear in the natural. Not just to hear in the natural. But you will hear in the spirit. You will hear in the spirit. You will hear in the spirit. Bring that person for me. I don't know where the person is. Where is that person? Bring that person before I run away.
All right. You see, oh my. How many people are still standing that have not heard properly? Okay, that brother. Can you test his ear again? Test again. Let me touch her. Let her be released. In the name of Jesus. All right, so I will go for 30 minutes break to do my work and I'll be back. When we come back, you can sit. Don't worry, I'll see you. There were two people I was supposed to meet yesterday. The two people that in the service, I said, how many people have hearing problems, hearing God? Only two of them indicated. Are they here today? Oh, they are not here. Okay. It seems that now this evening is a healing, it's a prophetic healing service, okay? You can be healed from any kind of disease, any kind of sickness. So we are trusting God for Him to open up the prophetic fountain. Now I want to pray for you. I just saw that we're out of time. We're out of time, so I will pray. You did not lift your hand. Well, I just said lift your hand. I didn't say come. Did he lift his hand? Okay. Okay. Now, can the offering baskets go around? Because Pastor said we have used up the time, so we can't go and come back. So we'll just come back in the evening. Okay? We'll break camp and then come back by 4 o'clock. So let the offering baskets go around. Offering baskets. Ushers, do you have baskets? Please, let's be fast about that, because I want to pray for you that your spiritual senses will open like Jacob in Bethel, that he began to see things happening in the same place that he was. May the Lord open your eyes to see this campus from the spirit realm. And when you see it, it will not be quite like what you see in the natural. When the Holy Spirit wants to make men wise, He gives them sight, gives them perception. Alright? So cast a seed. Come and take my own seed. Cast a seed. Sorry. Is there anybody that has a modem here? Modem. You have a modem that is functional. Alright, so please, I'll need your modem. I've been battling to get a network and it's almost a spiritual problem. So, now, hallelujah. Come ready this evening. Right? This evening and tomorrow, what I have, I want to give you. But it's problematic. Because if you receive what I have, the Holy Ghost will come and will ensure that you are obedient. That's the problematic sign. Okay, I will ask you if you want what I have first. Let it not be given without you, your consent. Please, offering baskets go around so that I can pray for you. I can pray. Choir, wonderful. You are anointed. You are. Please, don't joke with what you have. Don't joke with it. You may sit. Where is that lady that sang, that supported you? She was standing by the air conditioner. Ah, come, let me bless you. Father, let grace come into this vessel. In the name of Jesus, increase her ministry. Jesus' name. You may sit. Yes, offering baskets go round. If you are done with the offering baskets, then I pray for you. Let your spiritual senses become enlightened. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Have you seen that scripture? You should know people by the witness of the Holy Spirit. So that means the perception you have in your spirit about the person. You just shake the person, and then the Holy Ghost gives you a perception. This one should never be your friend. And then I'll keep running away. Because I don't need to learn experientially what I have known by revelation. It's most times you don't even recover. So the Lord comes to help us. Taste and see. Taste and see. If you have these things at work in your life, you cannot get married to the wrong person. You cannot. And your senses are working. You will sleep one day and see that that lady is wrong. That guy is wrong. No. The Bible says concerning Daniel that light and understanding was given unto him. He had wisdom like the wisdom of the deities, the gods. When we say a man has light, it means that there is nothing you can conceal from him. You can't conceal your ATM pin number from him. He had light. Anything you try to hide, light will expose it. You can't conceal your Ecolac combination lock. Light. That's the prayer point I want us to pray before I pray for us. That God will grant us light. Light. Wait, listen to me. Listen. You are not here. Listen. I've studied the Bible. I've studied all the prophets. There is none like Daniel. Light and understanding was granted unto him. The wisdom he had could be compared to the wisdom that deities, that spirits have. And it was light and understanding. Are you still with me? After this conference, there are many things about the life of people that God is going to begin to sort out. He's going to be sorting things out. And bringing people out of entanglements that they have entered into because they did not have sufficient light. Straightening destiny out. Straightening lives out. There's so much advantage that we will have if we operate by the light of God. Okay, ushers have finished. Now, let us pray. Ask him for light and understand. Light and understanding. Obrese natabila humbreza mandoria mahasant. Bobra nakusa bahabalate moske brehese taribo kore mahisi. The will of God is not hidden in distance, it's hidden in a dimension. Hidden in the spirit. Grant us light. Light. Cause our understanding to be flooded. Flooded with light. Flooded with light. Let no one walk in darkness. Activate every spiritual sense. In our corporate and personal capacity for perception beyond the cutting edge. Through this perception, may we know no man after the flesh. May we know men by the witness of the Spirit that we have received concerning them, that we can be made wise by the Holy Ghost. Let the sense of spiritual hearing be activated on the high profile, high level. Great grace
great grace, flowing with strong perception, strong insight, strong visibility in the spirit, strong perception, a life of accuracy. Let your powers as a prophet give a score in your movement, your ability to discern, to see, to hear, to decipher. Ask the Lord for the ability to taste. When you encounter a thing, you know its substance, you know it's soft. When you encounter a man, you come for a meeting, you know that there's glory here. You know that God is here. You go for another meeting, you know that no God here, no God. Because you can taste. When your spirit experiences it, you can taste what sort it is. The Bible says, test all things and hold fast to that which is good.
Oh
God, we give you glory, Lord. As we honor you, we give you glory, Lord. As we honor you, you are wonderful. You are worthy. Oh, God, you are wonderful. You are worthy,
Lord.
You are
wonderful.
You are
worthy,
Lord.
You are wonderful. You are worthy, Lord. You are wonderful.
You are in Jesus' name. Now you can lift your right hand as we stand in agreement. We will no longer be blind as a generation. Nigeria is a nation that has become a victim of so much blindness over the years. Blindness in leadership. Blindness even in the prosecution of ministry. Blind leading the blind. And we are at the tipping point of a chaos has been caused by blindness. But we ask that the Lord will grant unto us sight as a generation, sight as individuals, in the name of Jesus Christ. Jacob married in the night, and so even though they swapped his bride, he did not know till the break of day. The Bible says, light is that which makes manifest. Can you ask God, make everything around my life manifest? Let me see it. Abre somoro soli makadia. Berentos kiba mahaite. Liga barasomenes capriata mukambate. Lorenza Mantale Comba Sika Presco Barena Sika Barate Ekendo Samantalebo.
Alleluia, la 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 la. La 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 la. That you will never take any decision in darkness. That light will make it manifest. Light will reveal what sort it is. Thank you, Lord. Light. 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 An understanding. Light and understanding. Glory to God. Light and understanding. Light and understanding. Let nothing be hid. Let nothing be hid. For he bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for your people as I pray also for myself. And I ask, Lord, this morning, activate our spiritual senses. Activate our perception of spiritual knowledge. Activate our perception of spiritual sight. Activate our perception of spiritual hearing. Activate our perception and capacity for inner discernment in the spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, cause our hearts to be flooded with light. That the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let no one here miss his way. In Jesus' name. The Bible reveals that your word is a light to our feet. Your word is a light to our path. Cause us to walk by the guidance of illumination. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Things are opening. Things are opening. He is answering us. Things are opening. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive it. We receive it. We receive it. The church on this campus receives it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. So see you by 4 p.m. God bless you. Yeah, let's.